Welcome, everybody, to the podcast. I'm excited to be here today to talk about the state of the economy and dentistry. We're going to attack it at a couple different angles that will make some of you uncomfortable. And you know that that's what I love doing anyway. But we're going to talk about truth and reality. I'm accompanied by my sweetheart and business partner, Tracy Thorup. Say hi.
Hi to everybody.
Yeah, I'm definitely married up there. We begin our podcast right here.
Welcome, all of you fantastic dental podcast listeners, to the My Practice, My Business Dental Podcast Show, where we help dentists profit and thrive with excerpts from the clinical business of dentistry training here at My Practice, My Business. We'll be addressing and answering questions with current trends dentists and their teams face each and every day in their pursuit of this wonderful career we call dentistry. And now the host of our show, the clinical director and president at My Practice, My Business, Dr. Rob Thorup.
Well, what's really interesting is normally we have bullet points that we want to cover and talk about, but I think those bullet points are so stuck in our head right now, honey, that I just can't even get rid of them. I want to, first of all, talk about the where inflation is right now. And in the, not even quite 4 years of, and yeah, I'm going to get a little political. Just get over yourself, okay? And I mean, let's just talk about reality. It's unemotional truth. But inflation is up 18.9% across the nation. 18.9. That's crazy. And what we have seen over the last couple of years is, and you know, every party blames each other for it, whatever. The other thing that we've seen too, and all that is kind of true. I'm not going to, you know, we won't sit there and blame one party over the other, but you know, these are things that we actually have to think about, in our dental practices, and who we vote for does matter. And that's just fact. And, you know, I wish that both parties and all parties involved would be a little bit more, first of all, preserving of the Constitution of the United States, and second, actually have the interests of the collectively across the nation of all of its citizens involved, which, in my opinion, hasn't been fully the case. So, and unfortunately, we live in a very divided country, and I hope someday there's some leader that can bring everybody together, and I'm living in a dream world. But let's get out of the dream world for a minute, and let's go into, how is this affecting dentistry? What is going on in the field of dentistry? And sweetheart, you emailed me. I don't know where you're getting this statistical information from. I haven't even had a chance to ask you because you've been emailing me this stuff over the last couple of weeks. Yes, we are married. Yes, we do talk. And we've got so much on our plate that sometimes we forget about talking about this stuff. And so I thought, what a fun podcast to actually talk about this stuff openly, unscripted, and to just talk with all of you about this, because 18.9%, have your fees gone up 18.9%? Have your PPO contracts fees gone up 18.9%? Have your wages, and as important, the wages of your team gone up 18.9%? And the one last one that you sent me actually was statistical data of the reported salaries across the nation of all the dentists. And then with that report was the actual cost of living inflation and cost of living index currently today in 2023, and what that meant to the actual salary. So you had to take just in the last 4 years, you had to take your salary. If I was understanding this information correctly, my wife's nodding at me. If I understand this correctly, you took your salary and then you had to reduce it by that amount. And doggone it, I left that paper at the office. But I swear, in the state of Utah in 2019, the average salary, the average net income for dentists in the state of Utah was about what, 117, 118? Now, if you reduce that by the cost of living index or inflation costs, I'm no economist, so just bear with me, but I think you guys are getting this. If you reduce it by how much cost of living has gone up over the last almost 4 years, in the state of Utah, that average salary now has dropped down to what was 80, 87, 89, or were we in the 90s? I can't remember. I think we're 89,000.
That sounds about right. And you know what really got to me when I sent that to you is we've been talking over and over about inflation, of course, and costs of goods. And I think in previous podcasts, we've talked about how the supply chain really affected the cost of goods as well. We did see that slump in roughly 2021 across the board with dentists. But this is where it kills me. If we believe the lie that the insurance companies reimburse based off of the cost of living, and we've been submitting our full fee this whole time, and hopefully accommodating for the cost of living, inflation, and cost of goods increase, we should be increasing our you know, hypothetically, our fee-for-service fees. Why is it that given the fact that Utah is number 3 with the most expensive houses in the nation, how is it possible that we are the second, if not the lowest reimbursed in the nation, given the fact that it's so expensive to live here? So there's one that just has just been driving me insane. The second thing is that whole lie. Again, why are we receiving less money? And case in point, Delta Dental just dropped our fees across the board in Utah by quite a bit of money.
Wow, that, yeah, we've seen that. The I'm trying to pull this up here really quick, and I was actually kind of blown away that even in New York, the dentists in the state of New York aren't making that much, and their net salary now on average is $103,000. But I know that the state of Colorado, which used to be, you know, was no state of Washington, you know, the golden goose, but I noticed that they, like, for net income, Utah's now on, we're number 3 on the bottom. So the states that surpassed us, which I thought was really interesting, Colorado was one, and I'm trying to see who the other state was. It was back east, and it wasn't, gosh, who in the heck was it? No, not Louisiana. It it'll come to me here in a minute as I'm looking quickly. Oh, it looks like Mississippi. Bless Mississippi's heart. It's Mississippi and then Colorado. Yeah, you're looking at me funny.
No, I'm just thinking about the cost of living in Mississippi.
In Mississippi, all. Yeah. I mean, the cost of living now is $41,000 in the state of Mississippi. Their average is $130, so that took them down right by us. They were just slightly, I'm pretty sure it was Mississippi that was just slightly below us. Nevada is looking terrible too now. And I'm looking at this statistical report right now. It's really interesting, but like I've told everybody too, I just saw a cost for dentric services. I saw Henry Schein Dental, just they're having like a significant cost increase for those services. It was like 12-14% increase in roughly in that neighborhood. But we've seen dental supplies are up 20. Let's see, they went 10 and 12 plus some more. So they're over 22% last 3.5 years. So, which makes sense, 18.9% across the nation. Do you think any of these large corporations are going to decrease their salaries? So what I found was interesting is looking at, so the cost, these costs that we're talking about, and I love, you know, unfortunately, Utah used to be a state where to live was very inexpensive, but for a single individual, no children, just a single individual to have to be able to survive, live, and be able to put like 5% of their income away is all $46,850. How many team members are making $46,850 in the state of Utah?
Oh, yeah, that's a sad question to ask.
Not many. So when I first started practicing, let's just say from 1989 to 1999, so the year 2000, a dental assistant could have a life at $13 an hour. And the dental assistants back then in the state of Utah were making about anywhere from $10 to $14 an hour. That seemed to be, it was a job where, you know, you had to be, you know, living in a home with multiple people, married, in a relationship of some type. It was a supplemental income. It wasn't a standalone income. And so when we're looking at all the people that were, that we employ, and again, I'm sorry, docs, but this is a problem. When we're looking at people that we employ in the various states that we live in, we need to have a reality check with ourselves and ask ourselves, are we giving them a wage that's livable that they can survive on? And in the state of Utah, the average wage for a dental assistant is running between $18 to $20 an hour. Correct me, as I recall seeing those numbers, the typical office manager was about $22 to $24 an hour. Now, looking at that number, honey, I divided that by the average, like literally working full-time. Mm-hmm. The livable wage has got to be around $25 an hour.
It's ridiculous. Well, and I'm thinking about, you know, and dentists, this is where I feel bad, because a lot of times you feel that you're stuck in a situation where your reimbursement rates are so low that you can't afford to hire high quality workers and retain them based on the low wage that you're offering them. And you kind of feel stuck, right? Because you can't think of an option like, well, obviously, given what I'm receiving for these procedures, and hopefully you figured out your overhead, you just can't afford those people. And in exchange, those really amazing, driven individuals that could really benefit your practice, because they can't live, they're just not inclined to join the dental industry. There are other, I mean, just look at California and how they raise their minimum wage. You're going to go to areas that pay more just because it's just something you have to do in order to live.
Yeah. And it's, you know, more and more of the millennials and Gen Zers are moving in with parentals. They're living at home, or they're, you know, they've got roommates in a home. I've seen so many people go in on a home, you know, like, you know, single people going in on a home 50-50, or four of them 25% each, just to be able to have a life and survive.
I don't see how, if you're in a situation where you need to move in with your parents or find roommates, et cetera, why would you want to stay in that job? It's just going to be a short-term solution to the long-term problem. And so this is where we've got to look at it from that perspective and figure out, is there another way to keep these people and to attract them?
I love that. Some of you who are listening today might have seen that young man, TikToker. He was actually made the news and said, he was like, why in the world I'm making three times the minimum wage in my state, and I still can't even pay my bills. I can't survive. And he's like, and then he explains, I mean, he's not even remotely close to living some lavish lifestyle of a young person. He's trying to be responsible, pay his bills and everything else. And the problem that I see too, Trace, and not to jump the gun here, but change subjects, you know how I am all over the place on this stuff, but there's no way, even if the economy all of a sudden turns around and becomes really good, somebody else gets into the presidency, starts putting the economy first instead of other stuff, and we make policy changes. And what they are is policy changes. It doesn't matter what leader we have in office. It's all about policy and what they want to do for policy. And so let's just say that somebody gets in, changes policies, and the economy starts to improve and turn around. The problem that I've seen in my lifetime, and my parents, if they were living, they would agree, because they have, back in the day, we talked about this. When prices go up, inflation goes up, we see like gas prices are super high right now, and then supply and demand, we'll see gas prices lower, you know, they'll drop, but they're still significantly higher than they were like 10, 15 years ago. So even like with inflation, there's a lot of businesses. Let me put it this way. Do you think that Henry Schein, Patterson, Dale, and Burkhart, do you think that they're going to lower the fees on general supplies now that they've raised them, or will they just keep them there and let the economy stabilize? And then there's a new standard or a new level of income, just like has happened throughout all the years. I don't see prices retreating. If they do, they might retreat, 10%, maybe plus or minus a couple of percentage points, but they're not going to retreat the 25 percentile that they've gone up on average.
They're not going to. I mean, if you think about it, the when they increase the costs of goods or the sale of their goods, their fees, the dentists kind of push back a little bit, but then accept that that's the new number. So they've won the battle with the provider. So if they pull it back too much just to increase it again, why would they want that whole battle all over again?
Exactly.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah. And then home prices and things like that going up. So I'm going to come back to our team members, and I'm going to come back to your business, Doc. What are you doing to increase profitability and to be able to be financially stable, to have the sustain? I love the word sustainability because I use it completely different than what the federal government uses it at. Sustainability meaning, how are you going to sustain these changes in inflation? And how are we going to take care of our team members? And what it comes right down to is just simple business economics, a profit and loss. And it hammers back to the things that we talked about before, is profitability. Profitability in your dental practice, if you're not profitable by procedure, then you've got a problem. And if you're thinking that you can do a composite fillings and run in the red, and then have your hygienist work double column, triple column, whatever it might be, or put triplets all throughout the day, right, in a pseudo single column, to where they're seeing 10 to 15 patients, up to 20 patients a day, yeah, that's a problem, running that hamster wheel that fast, because we all have carrying capacities. We can only run so fast for so long before we get burnout. And so we cram the schedule, we fill holes, we produce more. And then the dentist always asks, honey, where's my cash flow?
That's the point I was going to bring up. You've got a hygienist, and maybe you're okay double, triple booking the hygienist and getting your money's worth, right, for the hygiene pay. But then you start thinking about your assistants and front office team members and so on. And your cost of goods, doing that procedure, your overhead is going to increase if you were to increase the salary of those people. And so as a result, your bottom line is going to drop significantly. And so if you think that's the only way that you can actually get good people is by paying them, but keeping your business billing practices the same, that's not the answer.
And that's just business 101, right? Mm-hmm. And so we get back to what we teach here at My Practice, My Business, and that is how to be profitable by procedure per your PPO contract and state laws. And this is where, as we continue to train offices, and it's always fun for Tracy and I to watch the psychology behind the doctors and dental team members. Every time we do the 3-day team training, on day one, for the first couple hours, everybody sits there with their arms folded and skeptical, and how's this going to happen? How's this going to be? And then by 10, 11 o'clock, their arms drop down. Then we hit the insurance estate law module. Their jaws hit the ground and like, I never knew. And then all of a sudden they're like, wow, we can be profitable by procedure. And now we understand how to be. We understand how to push back against the insurance companies if they tell us to write stuff off, or it's inclusive, or non-billable, non-payable by the patient. The insurance companies, Tracy, you said something this last week that I really thought was interesting, and you commented how the insurance companies are going to push back on us as much as they can get away with, and they will get away with everything they can until we know their own contracts and state laws and how to push back against them. I really thought that was I've known that, but just how you said it the other day just kind of blew my mind.
They're depending on our ignorance. They really are. They are hoping that we don't understand state laws. They're hoping we don't understand.
I'm sorry, I had to back away from
Mike. He was laughing right now.
They are dependent upon our ignorance. And that no greater words were ever spoken.
I'm gonna trademark that.
You should. They're dependent upon our ignorance. And honestly, people, that's not a slap in our face, but it kind of is, because we don't know what we don't know. But if we choose ignorance, then we deserve every negative aspect that we get. So I'm sorry
I was having a really great conversation with one of our clients last week, and he was talking about how this doc probably is listening to the podcast, so I'll be very gentle with this. But the office unfortunately had to split the training up, where half of the team came in while they continued working, and the other half came just recently for their training. By the way, the doctor who made that decision immediately said it was the worst decision that they had made, because they wanted everybody on the same page. The side note, right on that.
Yeah. And what's really interesting, we try not to do that very often, but we understand that you guys are very fearful of shutting down the office completely. You want some income coming in. You've got overhead and costs, and you're barely profitable. We get that. We'll try and work with you. But every office we've done, we've only done that with what, 6, 7, 8 offices, yeah, where they've split it up. Few. And every one of them has stated, if an office wants to do that, please have them call us,
because so we can talk about how
we want to try and talk them out of it if possible.
Well, that was my point. Yeah. Is they, the first group got back so excited to realize their new power, right? Their new knowledge, and they start implementing the. And the patients were great; they did fantastic. But here, this other team who had no knowledge of this new information, they were freaking out a little bit, saying, "Wait, you can do that? Wait, I don't know if you can do that." And so, one of the doctors that went through the training recently, just this last week, came to me afterwards and said, "I was skeptical, but now I am a believer." He said, "I've not understood these laws. I've not understood these contracts. I've never read this stuff. Now that we've gone through the training, it makes so much more sense." And you could tell he was just invigorated. He was so excited to start work on Monday and hit the ground running and see those profits. And it made more sense to him. So that was really, really cool.
And you don't lose patients, except for maybe, you know, some of the butthead patients you want to lose. And
Yeah.
Just had another conversation yesterday with a doc that's looking at going through our training. And honestly, if Tracy and I had a dollar for every time these questions got brought up, we would be going to Hawaii every year. And these are legitimate concerns that all of you have. And for those of you who've been through our training and listening, you'll go, yeah, we had these concerns too. And they were not concerns after we implemented. But it's always like, you know, how are we going to offer, you know, how are we going to implement the training in our community? What's other dentists going to say about it if they see our treatment plans? It's like, let them see them. You know, it's instead of having 2 codes, you're going to have 10 codes. And what does medical do? What does veterinary do? What does chiropractics do? They charge for what they do. And here we go, underutilized CDT codes that all of you are so afraid to charge, and created codes you had no idea you could create for value-added service. Right in your contracts, it states that, number one. And go ahead, Tracy.
Well, and I'm thinking about the doctor who is competing with price, right? So he thinks that he's competing against this other doctor down the street. He finds out that doctor might be charging for something he normally would not have charged for, or she. Let that doctor do that additional service for free and affect that person's bottom line. Go for it.
Yeah, they're the ones that are seeing, or every one of us are feeling the impact of inflation, increased costs, and team members needing more. And, you know, our whole employee compensation percentage of the overall overhead of the practice is jumping up.
Well, and you can't be that doctor. You cannot be the person who says, oh, you're doing that and charging for it, I'm going to do it for free, because you're shooting yourself in the foot. And you're complaining about the economy, complaining about the insurance companies. You're saying you need to make more money, but yet you're the one that's willingly doing these services for free and writing things off unnecessarily. So please, I'm going to encourage you not to do that.
Yeah, that's kind of, that hammers it right down. And then it's like, well, what happens if a patient gets upset because I'm suddenly charging them more for a crown, $300-$500 more for a crown than I did before? And they're like, you know, what's going to happen if that patient goes to another doctor or gives me a bad review or anything like that? And I'm telling you right now, if let them go to another doctor. But how we teach you to present treatment is soft selling. It's in a non-threatening way. And you can do what the other dentist down the road does. And you can also do a better service if they want it. It's their choice, A or B. And this is what we, you know, it's not just about not only knowing the state laws and the insurance contracts inside and out, but it's also learning business principles on how to present treatment, how to answer these questions, how to handle these situations that you've conditioned. Every office out there has conditioned their patients for free work. That's the problem. Talking with another doc was kind of fun. You know, we go to the physician and, you know, we get weighed in, blood pressure taken, and they talk to us for 2.5 minutes, and then there's a $150 charge. And they're like, how can they do that? And I look at, it's like that was their opinion originally, and then it's, now it's like, how can we in dentistry not do that? Why are we not charging for our time, our expertise? Why don't, what is wrong with us? It's just like optometrists. Vision insurance came out at the same time dental insurance came out. The optometrists figured it out. Based upon the reimbursement rates that they were being offered from the vision insurance companies, they couldn't make money. And so they went to the insurance commission and talked to everybody, and they gave them solutions. We had the same opportunity for those solutions, but we were too prideful. We were too arrogant and prideful to be able to do what the optometrists are doing. And I'll just leave it at that. But the optometrists figured it out. We didn't. We got left behind in offering choice, value-added service, frames, lenses, extended eye solutions, super soft, wear your contacts for 5 years and then change them out. No, I'm just kidding. You know what I'm talking about, though. I don't wear glasses, so I'm just paraphrasing. I don't. Luckily, the 2020 is still hanging in there at my old age, and keeping my fingers crossed that it still does. But isn't that interesting that we are so afraid to be profitable in our businesses because of fear? And that just what the regional manager of Blue Cross Blue Shield taught me umpteen years ago, we are afraid to charge for what we do because we perceive it as nickel and diming or gouging the patient, but no other business does that.
No.
And we are afraid of being profitable. We're afraid of losing a patient or two. We're afraid of a bad review. Man, I would wear that with a badge of honor.
And
we teach you how to deal with that too in our training.
Here's just kind of a personal thought on what you just said, Rob, is we have moved to our beautiful new location, new training facility. And in the back of my mind, I was really thinking, gosh, you know, we're going to get all these new patients coming in and they might be shocked with our new treatment plan because they're not existing patients. They can, you know, I don't know. In the back of my mind, I was worried. And then I realized, number one, we have received so many new patients coming in because they've heard that we offer choice. And like a lot of the doctors in the area, and we're retaining these patients and they're referring their patients. So obviously there's a value.
They're referring their family and friends to us already. We've only been in there since January 20th.
And here we are completely in a new area, practicing, of course, what we preach. The attrition is not there. No bad Google reviews. No doctor down the street, you know, going da 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 da. But here's what's really cool is, yes, we get paid fairly for what we do. That's the big deal for me, fairly. Because we're paid fairly for what we do, when we get those special patients that really touch our hearts, we can take care of them and we have the profits available to do so.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because you know how I give our associations crap all the time, our leadership. We seem to have a president with the Utah Dental Association now who still hasn't come by our place of business to see what we're really about, but that's a whole nother story. And, but he did make the comment that if we're not profitable in our practices, it makes it more difficult to help out those in need. That's one caveat, but you know, of being profitable by procedure instead of having to have hygiene and the procedure going at the same time to see a sliver of 1 to 6% corporate profit margins instead of 30 to 50. which is where you should be. So I applaud our current association president for making that comment. It's just that he was a fee-for-service doctor, I do believe, and he didn't understand the PPO landscape. So it's like it's a big difference in what we're seeing out there with the economy and seeing insurance companies lower their fees, lower their reimbursement fees, or remaining stagnant as they always have. But talk about taking care of people who are in need. I've been on this really big bandwagon push to be able to take care of those who work for us, those who help us accomplish our goals. And are we helping them accomplish their financial goals? Are we able to take care of them? So kind of in the area that we live in, definitely $22 to $25 an hour is what's needed for your team to be able to have a livable wage here in our neck of the woods. And what is it in yours? And are you paying your team enough to be able to live? And that's a big question. And if we're not profitable in this state of the economy, then we're all falling short. And then after I saw what Dennis Nedincome has dropped down to in the state of Utah, I'm like, I'm just dying. Because last time we looked at it, Trace, it was like, I think that the average net income, last time we looked at it years ago, of the average dentist in the state of Utah was like $167,000 of net income a year. And that was only about, 10, 12 years ago? And now we're down under 90. And I'm going,
what happened?
You know, it's pretty, you know, journeyman plumbers make more than we make. There are people in so many other occupations that make more than what we make. And Rob, it's not always about the money. It's about serving others. And I'm just going to go back to our UDA our Utah Dental Association president. Hey, if you're not profitable in your practice, you can't help people. You can't even help yourself, doc. And that's just a reality check. Honey, any last words on this off-the-cuff topic that we are just seeing? Yeah, it
was a little, but you know what was fun? I think you nailed the nail on the head. You hammered it on the head.
I love you being here.
There's my lack of construction statements there.
thanks for being here with me today and this morning. It's hard to get my wife up early in the morning and have a fun little podcast. Obviously, Tracy's the business person. She's the... She's the MBA in the family and here in the practice and at MPMB. And I love it that she brings a whole different aspect, the business aspect. That's why when you come training with us, our team has MBAs, MAs, bachelors, associates, all in business with real world dental experience, not fluff and stuff. Really appreciate all of you being with us here today. We hope you have a wonderful rest of your week, and thanks for supporting our podcast. Till we see you again.
Thank you for being with us today. Since 2006, My Practice, My Business has been teaching dentists and their teams business skills, dental insurance contractual protocols, and state laws governing how to profitably bill patients fairly for the need-based services they provide. What's more, we guarantee our training, unlike other dental consulting companies in the industry. Simply stated, if you don't increase your net revenue, we don't get paid. We call it dental consulting the way it should be. We believe there's never been a more important time than now for dentists to experience and implement our key methods, knowledge, and business training within their dental practices. To learn more about our guaranteed, no-risk clinical business of dentistry training that is changing dental practices for the better, just go to our website, mypracticemybusiness.com, and surf our pages for additional information about our company and the services we provide. When you're ready, give us a call and get scheduled for the most profitable dental business training that you will ever experience. If you enjoyed our podcast, please leave us a 5-star review. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to call us. Thank you again and have a fantastic day.